are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, friends, we are speaking in our manhood conversation about navigating divorce as a Christian man, all right? And we're going to be joined on the line by Pastor Munga, who's going to be speaking to us about this very, very important subject. Now, divorce, like we said, is a death of sorts, right? The death of a dream, a covenant, a shared future. And for Christian men, it can feel like failure wrapped in silence. The church often doesn't know what to do with divorced men. Are they broken? Are they disqualified? Are they dangerous? Right? But scripture tells a different story. God meets men in the wilderness, not to shame them, but to rebuild them. So divorce doesn't erase your calling. It may be the place where God redefines it. So let's talk about it. My pastor, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Thank you, my sister Wong and our listeners. It's a pleasure to be invited here again. Good morning.
Thank you so much. We always appreciate your time, Pastor. Let's get straight into it. What messages, Pastor, spoken or unspoken, have you received or heard about divorce from the faith community?
There are a lot of messages for sure that we hear, but of interest to hear spoken or unspoken messages like God hates divorce, yes, quoting the Bible, of course. Yes. And the implication is that God hates you too because you're involved in divorce.
Yeah.
And that your divorce is the worst of all sins.
Mm.
Or you should try harder to reconcile.
Yeah.
Your children will suffer because of this decision. Divorce disqualifies you from leadership.
Mm.
We have heard that from time to time.
Yeah.
Now that you are divorced, that means you cannot be considered for leadership. And also, that we don't know what to do with you.
Mm.
Now that you are in this position, we don't know what to do with you. In other words, you are of little or no use.
Ish.
And then you get fewer invitations. If you used to be invited to preach or to speak at conferences or meetings, you have got fewer or no invitations anymore.
Mm. That's something. That's something. And in what ways would you say divorce impacts a man's sense of identity and masculinity and his spiritual worth?
Divorce shifts the foundation of your worth, like, who am I?
Mm.
In other words, it brings a sense of disorientation,
mm,
a feeling of being incomplete, unsure of how to define yourself. And also question your personal worth. Am I real who I was? Yeah, especially, you know, we usually say, no, this is my better half. This is the, now you are complete. When the Bible does not carry that picture, actually, even before you're married, you are complete. Marriage does not add value to you. You already have value even before you're married.
Mm.
So that means even when you are divorced, you still have the same value before God.
Mm. Mm.
And there are also feelings like you're a failed protector or provider of the family. And of course, the pressure from culture or church expectations.
Yeah.
How can this person divorce?
Mm.
You were looked at as a role model. So from the culture point of view, you are supposed to stay there, whether it's boiling or whether the shoes are hot, you just have to stay there.
Right.
And also, of course, disconnection from children, and feeling unworthy before God.
Right, right. Mm. And I've heard this as well, even as a woman, I've heard the way that we have these conversations about divorce. And like you said, God hates divorce. Why don't you try a little bit harder? This is going to be hard on the children. And then you find people forcing things that are unhealthy, forcing relationships that are not getting better. They're not improving. But in what ways can a man experience God's presence in the aftermath of relational loss?
Well, there are tears there that bring unexpected peace. As you cry alone, someone goes into a mood of peace when you are releasing those emotions. Talk about nights when loneliness becomes prayer moments.
Mm.
You have quiet time now to talk to God. And a friend who listens without judging, but offers a shoulder to cry on.
Amen.
That makes a very big difference. and also talk about a pastor or a friend who offers compassion. Someone who just comes to be with you, not to judge you like we have said.
Yeah.
And of course, the feeling that God has not forgotten. God has not forgotten me. Yes, I have divorced, but God has not forgotten me.
Amen.
And in your brokenness also, there are those verses like Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. It doesn't limit to say you are brokenhearted because of this. No. When you are divorced, you are brokenhearted. And the Lord is close to the brokenhearted.
Amen.
Hebrews 13, verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Talk about Psalm 147, verse 7. Verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. There is a God who heals.
Yeah.
We keep dogs, and I like what they do. When a dog is wounded, it will start leaking the wound.
Mm-hmm.
No medicine applied until it heals. So God heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. We don't heal ourselves, but God does the healing.
Amen.
And that takes the time.
Amen. Amen. That's beautiful. Now, one of the dangers of having these kinds of conversations is someone can misconstrue what we're talking about here and almost make it sound like we are encouraging divorce. What would you say is a healthy way to approach the whole idea of how to deal with a relationship that is not, that's not going well, and reconciliation is, seems to be impossible? Are there some situations where, you know, God will understand, you know, there are those arguments that God never permitted it. So if it can't work, that's fine. You don't have to be together, but you must not divorce though. Just separate. I've heard those. I've heard some pastors saying, live separately. You can, you know, end the marriage in that way, in the matter that you're no longer living together as a family, but don't actually sign those divorce papers. Don't move on to a new partner. It's almost like this, I hate to call it that, but it's almost like this life sentence where, since I couldn't make it work with this person, now I must be alone for the rest of my life. What do you think is a healthy way to approach the whole idea of how to deal with a relationship which is failing to reconcile, just failing to get to a healthy space?
In the first place, we must accept that we are living in a broken world. We are not yet in heaven. Divorce is real. Whether I pretend or I don't pretend, it's real. If you are not affected, like they talk about AIDS, if you are not infected, you are affected in one way or the other. You have got an aunt, you have got an uncle, a cousin, a brother or sister who divorced. That's the reality. And the reality has to be addressed, but not by pretense. So in the first place, acceptance of the situation is very critical. Acceptance is not approval. When I accept you, I accept to listen to your story when you are broken. I'm not saying I've approved your divorce, but I'm saying that what has happened to your life is real. And that is the beginning of peace and rebuilding identity. Because you may feel that, I think I've lost my identity, but you rebuild your identity.
Yeah.
And also creating health boundaries, spiritual restoration, praying again without shame. Because at times when you look at me, when I used to look at you, you are Mrs. This, now you are not. No, you don't have to look at someone or to be looked at with shame. No, you are still a human being. And you also need self-compassion. We are living in a cruel world where at times you may not have someone to have a shoulder to lean on.
Yeah.
David says he encouraged himself. My soul, why are you discouraged? Talking to yourself. And the stability returning, of course, hope being revived. You accept that, wow, this is hurting, but I'm still here. You are not dead.
Yeah.
And like people have said, when you feel pain, it's a sign that you are still living. So you are hurt, yes, but you are still alive.
Yeah. Beautiful.
When pain is removed, it means you are dead.
That's profound. Wow. And then when we speak of healing after the end of this relationship, what does healing actually look like? Not just emotionally, but also spiritually. I mean, there are those spiritual wounds that are created in the midst of this separation. How does a man find healing?
Like we have said, we find healing in the first place. We need to see, to know the stages and steps of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is, like we have said, acceptance. You accept the situation that this is real. Because at times some people don't accept.
Right.
And that's what at times leads to depression. you say, no, I don't want to accept this. I don't want to accept this. Then you slide into depression. So you accept that this has happened and this is real.
Mm.
And then you decide to move on. When I talk about to move on, like we have said, is rebuilding your identity. You have not lost the world. And at times we think that everyone is talking about us. No, there are a lot of things that are happening in this world. Yours is a headline that comes and it has gone.
Yeah.
So you may be thinking that a lot of people are thinking about, no, you may be the only one actually. So there are a lot of things that you can do even the other side. So maintaining the health boundaries that we have said, you learn lessons. What have I learned from this? And from what I have learned, then has this removed my humanity? Am I still a human being? Yes, I'm still a human being. Am I still a child of God? Yes, I'm still a child of God. That is part of healing. That you have not lost your worth. It is hurting, but you are still there. And that is very important, and it brings a sense of stability and stability itself.
Mm. Wow. And how might God be inviting a man to lead or serve or love differently on the other side of this pain?
Well, on the other side of the pain, you lead with humility and authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
You don't pretend. You lead with humility. You serve with deeper compassion because you know what you are passing through. So even the way you serve with deeper compassion. You love with healthier boundaries. And you are invited in a means of encouragement. Because you are talking about what you are passing through. So you are authentic. You are real. And it is that in those moments, actually, when you discover your overlooked gifts, there should be some gifts that you had overlooked. As you are telling other people, you discover actually you are a teacher.
Mm.
You are a counselor. And you experience the scripture in a new way. Like those verses that we are reading.
Mm.
He heals the brokenhearted. Oh, so I am broken and there is a healer somewhere.
Yes.
Then it's fine.
Yeah.
And you testify. You tell the story at the right time, of course. And you have got a new vision of your life. But what is more critical is also God may be saying to you, as you are divorced, let me use what broke you to heal others.
Mm.
Let me use what broke you to heal others. Let me show you who you really are. Because at times we don't know ourselves.
True.
And when these injuries come, they expose us. We become vulnerable to ourselves and even to others.
Yep.
And God may be saying, let me rebuild your life with grace, not with shame. And God may be saying, let me teach you love without fear.
Mm.
That's what I can say, I think, on the other side.
That's beautiful. And I think it's so encouraging to know that our pain is not for nothing. That, like you're saying, let's use the lesson that you've gone through for helping other people. Make use of this negative and difficult experience, that it mustn't be for nothing. You find that even when the Bible speaks of the comfort that we receive from the Holy Spirit when we go through difficult times, so that we may comfort others when they're going through the same thing, God really wants to use our pain to benefit other people. And in helping other people, I believe we're helping ourselves as well. So our pain is never for nothing. It never has to go to waste.
Exactly. We are wounded healers.
Oh, love that. Love that. Any final thoughts or words that you want to share maybe with someone who's navigating this tricky space, especially as a Christian? Like we said, sometimes as the church, we don't really know how to respond to this because of the fact that we've been taught that God hates divorce. And of course, I don't think anyone loves divorce, not even the ones who are going through it. I don't think anyone enjoys it. But how does, just any words of advice for someone who might be experiencing this right now or who is considering it right now?
Well, what I can say is that you are still a child of God. God has not forsaken you.
Mm.
And the research has shown over and over that being alone is 10 times better than being in a toxic relationship.
Mm.
It's healthier. At times we reconcile by separating. Like it happened with Abraham and Lot. They differed.
Mm.
How did they reconcile? By separating.
Right.
They never became enemies,
yeah.
But they separated. So to maintain healthier boundaries. So you are still a child of God. God still loves you and God is there to heal you.
Mm.
So the world has not ended. And above all, move on. Mm. There's more to life than what is present prevailing.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. We really appreciate your time. We always appreciate your time. God bless you. I look forward to chatting with you again soon.
You are most welcome. God bless you. God bless our listeners too.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.